Yeah, I haven't been to a Brethren Church for a long time. But tell you a little bit of my history. Some of you are familiar faces. Apparently, the newcomers are familiar faces to me. Okay, I'll explain a bit later. I serve in Thailand, so later on I will share a little bit about my work there. My name is Jimmy. I have a few gifts from Thailand that I want to give out. But it won't come easy. You need to answer some questions from me. Okay? Those can speak Thai cannot participate. At least three of you can speak very fluent Thai here. I know. Okay? What's the Thai name for Thailand? Anybody can put up your hand? You put up your hand, then you answer. Anyone? Oh! Siam. Siam. I'll give you correct. But the name is very easy, Prathet Thai. Okay? Can you come out? Give him an applause, Ken. Okay. Maybe another more interesting question now. Okay. How do Thai people greet one another? Oh! Oh, what D? Oh, that's even better, the informal method. Please come up and take your gift. Okay, maybe two more for the newcomers. Make them feel very warm welcome. Okay, you know the Thai, whenever they finish a sentence, for a guy, they will always end with a certain word. Stuart, do you know what it is? Oh, can you please come out and get your gift? But Stuart was kind of like my Sunday school teacher.
One for you and one for
you. Okay, to this passage for the sermon, we have heard, but who hasn't? It's taken from 1 Chronicles 16:23 to 27. If I'm not mistaken, the first mission sermon touched on other Old Testament passages that highlighted the fact that missions has always been at the heart of God right at the beginning. So please allow me to read the passage and then I'll pray. 1 Chronicles 16. Verse 23 to 27. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him, strength and joy are in his dwelling place. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, who made the heavens and whose splendor and majesty fills all the earth, we pause right now to acknowledge your presence in this room. Lord, we have just read your word and we confess that your gospel is a sacred trust. As we open our hearts to your scripture and to the sharing today, we ask that you would give us more than just attentive ears. Give us listening hearts. Silence every distraction. Quiet our busy minds and soften any place within us that might resist your voice. Lord Jesus, do not let us remain passive listeners of your word today. Where you comfort us, let us receive it with gratitude. But where you challenge us, grant us the courage and faith to say yes. Move us beyond our spiritual comfort zones. Stir in us an overflow of obedience to whatever you are calling us to do. Whether right here in our local neighborhoods or to the ends of the earth. Holy Spirit, take over this time. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' precious and mighty name we pray. Amen. Good morning. I'm absolutely thrilled to be standing before you today for many, many reasons. Well, this is my very first time preaching in this church. It is not my first time here. Pit Key graciously reminded my wife and myself had the joy of running Sunday school service, Sunday school program with you many, many years ago. So it is good to be back. To give you a little snapshot of the journey God has taken me on since then, since the Sunday school, for the past year, I've been serving as an associate chaplain at St. Andrew's Community Hospital. But before that, I had the privilege of serving as the mission pastor and an evangelist for the Chinese service at my church, WEFC. In the Chinese church, they call it Chuan Dao. But in the English church, they call it pastor. So I have to use the word evangelist to distinguish my role. But at the bulk of my ministry, 22 incredible years, was spent as a cross-cultural worker with OMF in Bangkok, serving among Thailand's largest minority group. And before taking the leap of obedience into overseas missions, I spent 7 years as a parish worker in an Anglican church right after they sent me to Bible school, a journey that began just a year after my mom came to know Christ. But if you really want to trace my missions back to its roots, you have to go back all the way to when I was 14 years old at my very first church, which was Bethesda Bedok Mission Home. That church holds a deeply special place in my heart. It didn't just have missions as its name, in its name, it lifted out. It was a true home for missionaries. It was the place where we, young people, grew up, captivated by stories from the mission field. It was where we hit the ground running with weekly evangelism at Parkway Parade and East Coast Park, and where a lifelong passion for outreach was ignited in my soul. I have another story to tell, and this is about my father. My parents were divorced when I was 10 years old, so my older brother and I were raised by my mother. Dad remarried shortly after the divorce. In 2021, I received news that my mother had Alzheimer's and would need a caregiver. So I flew home from Bangkok, where I served, to look after her. But in 2022, Dad lost his wife to COVID and fell into very deep depression. The hospital got hold of me, somehow, to tell me his prognosis was not good and he needed a caregiver. Missiology did not prepare me for all of this. He needed a caregiver, and with the Lord's help, my dad received Christ in March 2024 and was baptized. The church that baptized him was Bethesda Pasir Ris Mission Church, also known as Bethesda Bedok Mission Home, my first church during my time. So in some sense, standing in this room today feels like coming full circle. But as I stand here, I realize that I'm not just standing here on my own journey. We are all standing on a deep foundation built long before us. I'm deeply mindful of this place we occupy today, this land at Pennefather Road, if I get my facts right, donated by Mr. Wee Tiam Seng. It's more than just a real estate. It is monument to a listening people. Before this building was completed in 1936, pioneer missionaries were already sowing seeds in humble shop houses along East Coast Road. This church was built by your pioneers, men like Dr. Koo Ping Sing and Mr. T.W.G. Nolas, who understood that the gospel isn't just a treasure for us to keep, but a sacred trust for us to carry. For years, my daily routine with OMF in Bangkok was navigating the narrow walkways along the Khlongs of Bangkok, the hidden urban communities of that city, searching for those lingering in the shadows. So when I read up, look at Bethesda Katong, I see a church defined by nearly a century of faithfulness. Wow, 90 years. You heard and responded. And so this sanctuary is the fruit of laborers almost a century ago. 1 Chronicles 16 compels us to look beyond our own walls. It confronts us with a sobering question. We have heard, but who hasn't? Bethesda Katong is the fruit of faithful listeners. You have heard, they have heard, who responded almost a century ago, but God's command doesn't end with what we have heard. Look at how King David defines our assignment in 1 Chronicles 16. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. You see, David's vision was never localized. He explicitly calls out all the earth and all peoples. If missions had its beginning, it goes way back to the Old Testament. In missiology, we use a concept called the E scale or evangelism scale to measure the cultural and geographic distance we must cross to fulfill this command. So let's do a bit of missiology here. E0 or E1 represents the near. What does it mean? It means reaching those who are like us in culture and language. Think of local neighborhood outreach or the historic Bethesda Medical Clinic in Jalan Yunus, which served local residents as a marketplace GP clinic in the 1950s. This is vital work, but it represents our spiritual comfort zone. What about E2 and E3, the immediate and the far? This is what David refers to as the nations. E2 involves crossing significant cultural barriers, like a Singaporean Chinese believer reaching out maybe to a Hindu neighbor. You cross some cultural barriers. But E3 is the most challenging, crossing distinct language and culture barriers entirely. Every OMF missionary sent to Thailand must go to this place. We call it the Lopburi Language Center in central Thailand. I remember sitting there, wrestling with the complex Purnell modules created by the linguist Herb Purnell. Here I was, a Kiasu Singaporean, suddenly realized that I cannot even say Jesus loves you in Thai. I was reduced to a tiny toddler. I have to learn to wrestle with the five tones, five distinct Thai tones. So let me share with you some candid moments. If you're not careful about the tones, the words that you say could mean something completely different. For example, okay, some of you read Thai, right? Okay, not including the three of them that actually can speak and write fluent Thai. Okay, so the first line, right, usually when we pray, we will use that first line, okay, not the second one, okay? But the phonetics are written below, but they all look quite the same. So the first line says, Prachao Pu Ying Yai, okay, which means God Almighty. But if it's said in a wrong tone, with a slight delay between consonants, like this, Prachao Pu Ying Yai, oh no, it will mean something terrible. It means the monk went to hire a large woman. Can you imagine your opening prayer? So why do we put ourselves through that? Because if we stay safely inside E1, the gospel never leaves our bubble. We must be willing to become fools in a new language so that all peoples can hear the good news. We must be willing to become fools for Christ so that others can hear. But who are these people who still haven't heard? Let me take you to the reality of the unreached fields where I served in Thailand. When David charges us to declare God's glory among all peoples, today that means focusing on unreached people groups or UPGs and unengaged, unreached people groups or UUPGs. A UPG is a distinct group of people among whom there is no indigenous community of believing believers or Christians with adequate numbers and resources to evangelize their own people without outside help, typically defined as those less than 2% evangelical Christians. A UUPG is a subclass of UPGs where there is no active church planting, missionary presence, or evangelical effort currently taking place at all. Meaning, no one, not a single Christian, is actively trying to reach them. While Thailand is predominantly Buddhist, there are massive pockets of unengaged groups. While in Bangkok, I serve among the largest minority group who moved to the central city for employment. They were physically living in modern metropolis, yet spiritually isolated on an island with almost no one sharing Christ in their heart language. So to understand the spiritual landscape of Thailand, Christian exposure to Thailand began in the mid-16th century with Catholic orders, the Franciscans, the Dominicans, and the Jesuits. If you remember church history, it was also the period of Reformation. Why didn't all the Christians, Reformed Christians, come out? Because they were fighting fire for at least 100 years. They had no way, no resources to come out. And it took them 200 years to settle down and came out as missionaries later in the 19th century. Christianity has had a presence in Thailand for roughly 476 years, whereas Islam arrived as early as the 9th century, making it the second largest religion in the country. So that's my people group that I served in. Today, out of a total population of 72 million in Thailand, there are only about 500,000 believers. If those Christians were evenly distributed across all 77 provinces in Thailand, that would be merely 6,493 believers per province. This represents a ratio of one Christian to every 135 believers. Would be almost like Pastor Ji Yong having to pastor the whole church all alone. Okay? Not easy. Furthermore, of those 500 believers, half are located in northern region, with more than half belonging to minority Hill tribes. Even E1 local outreach in Thailand is an uphill climb. E3 pioneer work requires tremendous endurance. 476 years. Wow, that's a long, long time. Christian presence in Thailand. But what happened? Well, consider the Akha people of northern Thailand. For generations, they lived under what they call the tyranny of the spirits. In 1955, OMF missionaries Peter and Jean Nightingale moved directly into the mountain villages. For 7 long years, they labored without a single convert. They were what we call the E3 pioneers in the hardest sense. It wasn't until 1962, two men from Kaye village finally chose to follow Christ. Because the Nightingale didn't stop at E1, today there is a thriving Akha church that celebrated its golden jubilee in 2012. They sought out the who that no one else was looking for. The Akha Church exists today because missionaries moved from just living near them to intentionally pursuing them. That brings us to a crucial question for every one of us sitting in Katong today. How do we move from simple proximity to divine purpose? How do we transit from merely knowing people to actively making disciples? It requires intentionality. In Podesta Katong's history, leaders like Dr. Benjamin Chu didn't just interact with the sick. He intentionally used medicine as a bridge for the gospel. During my years in Bangkok, I couldn't just sit in a church building waiting for people to walk in. I had to step out, walk through local markets, sit in halal noodle shops, and listen to people's stories. You see, if we settle into our comfort zones, consider what will happen. The Indian doctor who treats us, treats your family, remains just an acquaintance rather than a brother in Christ. The Nepali worker at the construction site remains spiritually invisible. Millions across the 1040 window remain completely unengaged with the gospel. Reaching the unreached is hard, sacrificial work, but it is the mission of the entire church, not just full-time mission specialists. Reaching the unreached isn't just for specialists. It is a heartbeat of God for this entire church, for Bethesda Katong. You see, history is our launch pad. We talk about some aesthetics and some renovation and repairs for Bethesda Katong earlier on. But in not the literal sense, but spiritual sense, we are actually a launch pad, not our ceiling. So how will we respond today? In 1 Chronicles 16:27 declares, "Splendor and majesty are before him, strength and joy are in his dwelling place." We do not engage in missions merely to expand numbers. We do missions because God is far too glorious to be praised in only one language. Thank God for the Peranakan services. I saw some Malay there. He deserved the praise of multiple languages, of the Akha villager, the Thai Muslim street vendor, the Nepali worker, and the Katong businessman. This church inherited a rich legacy at 17 Pennefather Road. But let us never allow our history to become our ceiling. Let it be our launch pad, our launching pad. We have heard the song of salvation. Now, who in your life or in this world is still waiting to hear the first note? Today, God is not asking for passive agreement. He's asking for active surrender. I want to invite you to make a tangible response right where you are. If God is calling you today about someone right in your neighborhood, your workplace or your family, a Hindu colleague, a foreign construction worker, an estranged relative, and you want to commit to stepping out of your comfort zone to listen, care, and share Christ with them this week, could you respond in your heart and say yes to God? For some of you, God is maybe stirring something deeper. He's calling you to look towards the E3, the unreached nations, to pray intentionally, to give sacrificially, or even to say, "Lord, send me across cultural and language barriers." Or we have at least two of you already, right, who received the gifts from me. Afterwards, please see your pastor, because you responded to Sayam and Sawadikrap. Okay, just kidding. But to be serious, if you're sensing God calling you to give, pray, short-term send, or even enter full-time cross-cultural missions with your church missions ministry or partners like OMF, I invite you to respond in your heart. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, you are the God of Pennefather Road, and you are the God of Thai Klongs the Arka mountains, and every unreached group across this earth. We confess that we have often stayed comfortable in what we have heard, while millions still await to hear your name. Today, we surrender our comfort zones. Lord, grant bonus to be light in Katong, in our offices and in our homes. Open our eyes to the invisible people around us. For every person that responded, Lord, to either the E1, E2, or E3 categories, Lord, we pray that you will ignite in their hearts a passion for the unreached. Whether through praying, giving, or going, we ask that you use Bethesda Katong to carry your salvation to the ends of the earth. We pray, Lord, that the local pastors here, the mission teams, and the mission agencies like OMF will walk alongside each and every one of those that responded to E2 and E3. We'll be able to disciple them, equip them, and send them out so that your glory will be declared among all peoples. In the mighty and worthy name of Jesus, we pray. If you responded in your hearts earlier on, I encourage you to meet your pastor or your mission leaders right after the service so that they can pray with you and help you take your next step. When we look back at the history of Bethesda Katong, or when we look at the missionaries sent out across the globe, we realize that none of us are here by accident. Someone had to sacrifice. Someone prayed. Someone gave so that we could hear the gospel. One day, when we stand in eternity before the throne of God, surrounded by every tribe, tongue, and nation, someone is going to walk up to you. Someone from Thailand, someone from your workplace, someone from your own neighborhood, and they are going to look you in the eye and say, thank you. Thank you for giving, thank you for praying, and thank you for going. I'd like to close our time today with this song. And as it is being sung, and some of you would know this song because I know this song since I was 14 years old, let this be a prayer and our gratitude to those who gave to us and our commitment to those who give to others. I dreamt I went to heaven and you were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing and someone called your name. You turned and saw this young man and he was smiling as he came. He said, friend, you may not know me now. And then he said, but wait. You used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. One day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Then another man stood before you and said, remember the time. A missionary came to your church, his pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, and that is why I'm here today. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. One by one they came, far as the eyes could see. Each life somehow changed by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices you've made, a notice on this earth, in heaven now proclaimed. I know up in heaven, you're not supposed to cry, but I'm almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, my child, look around you, for great is your reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. I am so glad you gave. I am so glad you gave. Lord, Lord, help us to be a giver, a goer, a sender, someone who will intercede in prayer for the lost. Because we know when we meet you face to face, Lord, it will mean so much to all of them because we did as you commissioned us to do. Lord, send us out in love, in strength, in power, and also with the guidance of your Holy Spirit to love and good deeds, Lord God. Share the gospel with those in our neighborhood, our workplace, in this nation, and across many, many cultures, especially to the unreached, unengaged, so that, Lord, you can be worshipped, you can be adored with many languages, multiple languages from every tribe and tongue. Be with us, Lord God, for the rest of the week. Help us to respond to the very words that David has sung. In Jesus' name we pray.